Government is everywhere. Personally, nationally, globally, and heavenly. Welcome to Are You Real Government, the premier media outlet where we discuss what's going on around the world and how to release God's governance, the kingdom, into it. Each week, we'll be equipping you with kingdom understanding and giving you the inside track to government leaders around the globe. Now get ready to get real about government with Are You Real Government.
What in the world is going on? And more importantly, what in your world is going on? My name is Dub Alexander. I'm a spiritual advisor to the influential and your host of Are You Real Government. Don't forget that you can hear the founder of the Are You Real family of podcasts, John Fuller, and his show, the original Are You Real, every Wednesday on iTunes, Google Play, and wherever you get your podcasts. Today, I'm excited to welcome Chantel Irish, the senior campaign advisor to Dr. Noah Manica and Mr. William Pilbrow, who are running for the offices of president and vice president in the country of Zimbabwe under the political party of the Build Zimbabwe Alliance. In future episodes, I will be interviewing Dr. Noah Manica and Mr. William Pilbrow, so keep your eye out for those. So Chantel, it's an honor to have you on the program today. I'm excited to hear all about the campaign and the election and just what all is going on over there in Zimbabwe.
Hi, Dub. Thank you for having me on today. Firstly, it's a very exciting atmosphere at the moment. Lots of anticipation and excitement. We're entering a new era of opportunity. For the last 37 years, we've had a dictatorship at the hands of our former president, Robert Mugabe. And in a strange turn of events last November, there was a quote-unquote, a coup that wasn't really a coup, and Mugabe was replaced by Vice President Edi Manengagwa, who is now the acting president of Zimbabwe. Unfortunately, there hasn't been much change, in our opinion, and there are still issues concerning freedom for civil rights, and the same ruling party is essentially in power. So we're looking forward to some positive changes in the country.
So Chantel, I've had the opportunity to touch base with you and talk to you a little bit before this. And so you've told me a little bit about what happened in that whole situation. But for our listeners, could you please explain what you mean by a coup that wasn't a coup?
Absolutely. Well, I have to say that November last year was one of the most exciting and emotional 2 weeks of my life. I remember hearing the news where the military had a call to action, and next minute there were tanks rolling into the capital and explosions at politicians' houses. But prior to all of that, there was a dinner that I had, a work dinner, and stories of the coup were already circling, and we kind of blew it off as being fake news. The next day we heard the president was under house arrest, and there were military checkpoints that went up left, right, and center. Essentially, the country was under military control.
Wow.
And yeah, and it was a weird atmosphere. There was disbelief, excitement, fear, all at the same time. We later heard that Mugabe was refusing to retire. So a big march was scheduled in our CBD, which was attended by thousands of people. And there was a really big shaking in the heavenlies on that particular day. It was this overwhelming sense of unity on the streets. There were people from every race, religion, ethnicity, class, just all demographics coming together with a common cause. And it was the first taste of freedom that we had in a very long time.
Come on.
So, yeah, following that, there was a very flooring speech by Mugabe on the Sunday night, in which he stated that he would remain president. And then, lo and behold, on the Tuesday, he resigned. And we call that day Terrific Tuesday, or I do myself. And that night, the whole country was in full celebration. The atmosphere was absolutely electric. I think I got home at about 6 a.m. in the morning. So it was a really, really good night.
Wow. I love that. Terrific Tuesday. That'll work. So from what I understand, getting involved in politics, especially in a place like Zimbabwe, is a dangerous pastime at the least. So where did all this start for you?
So I've always had an interest in world politics and being involved in government, but I never expected to be involved at this stage in my life. I'm a born and bred Zimbabwean, and I was afforded the opportunity to go to the States and study at Oral Roberts University. So shout out to ORU. Yeah, and in 2011, I organized a series of national healing and reconciliation events in Zimbabwe for Dr. Malika. And, you know, since our initial interactions, Dr. Malika had decided to go toe-to-toe with the Zimbabwean government for the 2018 elections and essentially approached me and asked me to join the team. And I love a good challenge, so pretty much resigned from my job and joined the cause.
I'd love to hear about some of the national healing and reconciliation events that you and Dr. Malika held, because I believe that events like those not only display the heart of God, but they even usher in his favor. So I'd love to hear what those look like.
So I kind of stumbled into the whole National Healing and Reconciliation Conference organization. I was in the States in my first year of university, and my dad actually met Dr. Malika on a flight. And my dad is notorious for signing me up for things, and so he volunteered my services. And then I ended up getting in touch with Dr. Malika directly and got stuck in. One thing I really admire about Dr. Malika is that he has a passion for empowering people. And I was only 19 at the time, and he really took the risk on me, gave me full responsibility for organizing the planning as well as the implementation of three very massive events. So we organized three different conferences, which were aimed at an audience of young, vulnerable children. At each of the events, we featured a film called As We Forgive, which is a compelling story about forgiveness in Rwanda after the Rwandan genocide. And we organized a massive shipment of shoes in coordination with Samaritan's Feet. And we washed all the children's feet and then gave them a pair of shoes. So that was truly moving for me. And they were just tears smeared across the faces of thousands of children and volunteers on that day.
Come on. 19 years old out there changing the world on a national level. I love that. So talk to me. I can even hear the passion in your voice for your country, for your nation. What is it that makes you so passionate about Zimbabwe?
Well, honestly, there's so many things, but I could summarize them in three. There's firstly the people, the countryside, and then the untapped potential. So Zimbabweans are a very unique people group, very fun-loving and very genuine. The countryside is absolutely breathtaking. Traveling Zimbabwe is one of my favorite pastimes. I actually just got back from an incredible weekend in the mountains, which we consisted of whitewater rafting and kayaking and all sorts of gorgeous hikes. So that was incredible. I'm also really passionate about helping Zimbabweans tap into their full potential. Unfortunately, we have a very dilapidated economy and 95% unemployment. So as many as 3 million Zimbabweans have been forced to leave the country, and they send over $1 billion back to their families in Zimbabwe on a yearly basis, which is massive. I used to work for a money transfer company that was specifically catered to Zimbabweans living abroad, and I traveled to several sites where we would pay out to relatives, and there were kids and grandmothers waiting for hours in the hot sun just to receive the money to survive from their relatives living abroad. And a lot of them are master's educated Zimbabweans living in some really harsh conditions in South Africa, working as waiters and sending majority of their salary home to their kids and grandparents. The children are growing up without mothers and fathers, and I'm very concerned that that's going to have a long-term effect on our people.
Wow. I do love the passion of the people to be willing to do whatever they have to do to provide. And it's definitely heartbreaking that their presence isn't there to pour into their kids. But I do love that hard work ethic and that sacrificial spirit that they've got. What are some other unique traits about Zimbabweans?
Yeah, Zimbabweans are just incredible people. Very peace-loving and mild-mannered in nature. Zimbabweans have avoided all sorts of violent insurrections that plague many other African countries because of their peace-loving temperament. And many of us who have stayed through the adversity and hardship have developed a tremendous resilience. We've picked ourselves up by our bootstraps and relied on each other rather than the government to get through things. So I believe that we've really broken the cycle of dependence that exists in most other African countries. And there's a popular saying in Zimbabwe where we'll make a plan. That's a statement that most live by.
So let's shift a little bit, and I'd like to hear, what would you say if you were asked, what is the God-given identity of Zimbabwe as a nation?
I would say the God-given identity for Zimbabwe is to be the Switzerland of Africa. We were once the breadbasket of Africa, and we've taken a big tumble from that point. Our nation is so rich in mineral wealth, and I believe that we can gain a lot of strength in the agricultural sector. So I really see Zimbabwe as being a powerhouse in the upcoming years.
Okay, so on your recent travels, have your eyes been open to what's really going on throughout the whole country? I know that oftentimes politics and government can be so focused in the main cities and what's going on there, but I loved how you talked about, you know, you're going out on different excursions and whitewater rafting and all that. So as you go around the country and just enjoy all of it, what are you seeing with the people?
Yeah, I've really learned a lot by just traveling around. We recently went to a national park called Lake Chiviro, which I remember as a kid being a beautiful lake for sailing and all sorts of activities. And as we were at the dam wall, we looked over and we could see all of these rotting fish, and the water was dirty and polluted. So I inquired as to why this was the case. So I learned that they were pumping raw sewage into the lake. And to make matters even worse, this water is being pumped into households across the country for drinking water. It's a real health crisis. In addition to water purification, Zimbabwe has other major challenges, such as access to basic health services. A colleague of mine recently went to the hospital to look for some medicine for her child, and the nurse turned her away, saying that they didn't have any of the medicine. She later found out that they did have the medicine in the inventory, but due to manual record-keeping systems, they were unable to find it and didn't even know that it was there. There's a general lack of concern for conservation, not to mention simple improvements like inventory management can revolutionize healthcare and many of our other institutions.
Gotcha. Well, it sounds like some valid concerns. What are some other challenges that Zimbabweans are facing on a day-to-day basis?
I would say one of the biggest challenges that we've had in the last several years and to date is a result of the mismanagement of our financial system. In 2008, we reached outrageous hyperinflation figures where we were dealing in trillions of dollars. And I remember the prices changing in the stores three times a day because the inflation was so ferocious. And we had to purchase all of our groceries day one of the month at the risk of everything going off and going rotten so that we wouldn't lose the value of the entire salary. So it was some really, really tough times. But the situation on the ground today is much the same, just a different packaging and a different bow. The government is not even bothering to print cash. They've effectively frozen real savings and working capital of the entire nation. So it's wholesale theft.
So what do you mean by they've frozen? Have they frozen all the funds in the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe? Are you able to withdraw your money outside of the nation? What does all that look like?
So at the moment, I'm unable to even withdraw money inside the country, let alone outside the country. So the Reserve Bank has clamped down on the free movement of cash in country and for foreign payments. Majority of the people are forced to use illicit means to get money out of the country to, you know, restock their businesses and that sort of thing. And on a personal level, I have college loans to pay off in the States and unable to use any of my salary from Zimbabwe I have to rely on savings overseas in order to settle that.
Okay, so how does an economy sustain in that environment? How do businesses survive in that sort of climate?
It's a really harsh climate for businesses. Our local manufacturing industry has been dormant for a long time, and majority of businesses are forced to trade on the illegal black market as a matter of survival. They also take a 40 to 50% hit on all of their sales, which is often passed on to customers who are already living from hand to mouth. So prior to 2009, the Zimbabwean government said that it was illegal to trade in US dollars.
Wow.
And at which time it was the widely accepted currency. And to date, it is illegal to make foreign payments outside of the country unless it's sanctioned by the Reserve Bank, who is restricting such payments. So once again, the entire population has been criminalized by the government.
Wow, that's some crazy harsh conditions, especially when it comes to just the sustainability of the economy and people having the ability to thrive and to prosper. I did have the opportunity to speak with Dr. Manika the other day, and he filled me in on a lot of the specifics around the Build Zimbabwe Alliance. And man, you guys just have some really great ideas and some really great plans that have the opportunity to be implemented that can bring some real change to a lot of these areas. And I was super excited to hear about that and get to see what you guys were thinking. What was it specifically that drew you to the Build Zimbabwe Alliance over all the other opposition parties in Zimbabwe?
Personally, Build Zimbabwe is more than a campaign, it's a cause. And it really aligns with my heart and my passions. They seek to unite citizens in bringing about equality, justice, and freedom from poverty. And one of the biggest distinguishing factors, which is a huge one, is to change the narrative of racism that stems from past hurts. So recently, William Pilbara, a white Zimbabwean, joined Dr. Manika in the race as his running mate. And this act in itself is changing the narrative and encouraging all races to try to find their unity in diversity. It's incredible. But mostly, I would say the biggest distinguishing factor of Build Zimbabwe versus other parties is that they've released a plan of what they want to achieve when they are elected into office. It's called the Build Zimbabwe Manifesto, and it's a contract with the country. And it's been widely shared and can be found online. And I think that's exceptional. A lot of people want to get into power, and then they don't have a plan for what they want to do when they're there.
Right, right. I've got a copy of that and the BZA Manifesto, and I will have that available for the show notes as well. For all of our listeners that would like to be able to look at that. It's really awesome. I'm a big fan. So what do you believe God's heart is for Zimbabwe and for the people of your nation? What's his vision?
I believe it's to see people truly set free. I believe his vision is to see them free from political oppression and violence, free from poverty, free from the chains of corruption, free to flourish in their gifted industries and allow for Zimbabweans to work in the area of expertise in their own country. I would also like to add that Zimbabwe needs to be free from the destructive racial narratives that have created so much division and animosity since colonial times. I would really like to see a nation that's re-established on Christian principles that can promote justice and create equal opportunity.
I love that. And even here in the United States, we're really dealing with a lot of that destructive racial narrative as well. So I feel you on that for sure. So what do you think it will take to see this new Zimbabwe manifest into reality?
In order to realize the dream of the new Zimbabwe, there needs to be a change in political leadership. With the right leaders, we can fix broken systems and sick systems and see them transformed. Secondly, we need the citizens to be empowered, to be the change that they want to see. Together, we can stop the systematic corruption, the pillaging of national resources, and demand justice and essentially build a great nation together.
I love that. Come on. Who in your journey to where you are today has really influenced your thinking? You know, the Bible says that as a man thinks, so is he. And so you're out there, you're a world changer. You're bringing the kingdom to earth. You're even at 19, you were just bringing massive amounts of healing to your nation. So you're a dynamic individual. You're doing great things. Who influenced your thinking in the process to get where you are?
Honestly, there are many incredible people who have influenced my thinking. I would have to say the top few are Lance Wilnau. I listen to a lot of his Periscope videos. Dr. Barry Leinhart, John Bevere. A really good book that has really impacted me was one by Samuel Rodriguez called The Lamb's Agenda. And one of the most memorable pieces in his book was his analysis of the axes of the cross. And the cross is both vertical and horizontal, and it relates to our hearts being poised towards God on the vertical, and then on the horizontal being poised towards people. So it combines righteousness and justice, the Billy Graham and the Dr. Martin Luther King. And this book really shifted my mindset, and I think that's a lot of what inspires me today.
You mentioned a couple of key people that are high on my list as well. And I love that picture of the vertical and the horizontal that plays out in so many different ways, from not just what it means to be a priest, but to be a king and to get the download from God vertically, but then to release it horizontally in a way that makes change. And of course, you brought up one of the great statesmen of all time, Dr. Martin Luther King, and how he had that ability to bring God's heart in and release it in such a way that people were motivated and encouraged and began to move on that. Such good stuff.
Absolutely.
So do you see yourself as being a change agent in Zimbabwe?
Yes, absolutely. I couldn't think of a greater honor. I'm committed to seeing Zimbabwe change, and although I'm not sure how it will all play out, I'm very happy to fail forward.
Well, I think that you will be victorious as you move forward. In my opinion, you can never fail. You can only learn.
I like that.
So what do you want people to take away from this interview?
I would say be encouraged in knowing that God is working and moving in the hearts of people in government. Our Build Zimbabwe Alliance team all have incredible stories of how God has orchestrated things, directed their steps, and even performed miracles. And I think Dr. Monica and William Pulbra will be able to share a few of their stories on the next podcast.
So looking forward to that. So what can our listeners do to be involved or to follow the progress?
Well, in the next couple of weeks leading up to the elections, which will probably be in July, we hope to put a lot of effort into voter education. Majority of the registered voters, of which 80% are in the rural areas, aren't informed about their voting rights. For several years, they've been force-fed political violence, propaganda, and I even met a lady in South Africa who had fled Zimbabwe after having battery acid thrown at her and her teeth knocked out by ZANU-PF thugs in the 2008 elections. So this year we're hoping for peaceful elections and seek to combat the effects of prior elections through voter education. So we've also established a foundation. The foundation is called Zimbabwe Nation Builders Trust, and this seeks to play an active role in reforming key sectors of the nation, such as agriculture, mining, education, social welfare, and conservation, just to name a few. So we have a vision to be involved in a lot. And this is a huge feat for us. We need all the help and support that we can get. So feel free to Google Build Zimbabwe Alliance and find our website. There's also a donation page if anyone is willing to contribute to the cause. Otherwise, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. And yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. And I'll put links to all of those sites on the show notes as well. So any final words?
I would just like to encourage all the listeners that there are causes to fight for out there. One of Dr. Manika's famed phrases is there not a cause? So yeah, be encouraged by that. And I'd like to thank you, Dub, for being on the show. And I love what you're doing. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. Will do. Well, it's been an honor to have you. I just want to just honor you for being a powerful woman of God and for engaging just the government mountain on the level that you are, and just pouring out your life to see change come to your nation. It's amazing. I'm a big fan, and I know that that I'm going to be praying for you guys and expecting to hear great results as you move forward and being a change agent in your country.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. My honor. You guys check out all the show notes, connect with what's going on with the Build Zimbabwe Alliance. And don't forget, you can check out other members of the Are You Real Family podcast. Jody Holland has a great show called Are You Real Success. You can check that out. And until next time, it's been Dub, it's been Kingdom, and it's been Real.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Are You Real Government. For in-depth resources, show notes, information on today's discussion, or to connect with your host personally, please visit areyoureal.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the other podcasts in the Are You Real family. Until next time, thanks for keeping it real with Are You Real Government.